I'd like to call this regular council meeting to order. Would you all please rise for the invocation?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Clerk. Roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
Thank you. There is an addendum this evening. We have a delegation from Mr. Jeff Klein with respect to a communications tower installation in the Dominion Road vicinity. With respect to announcements, just a few. Last weekend, the Friends of Crystal Beach ran their annual 5K event, and I wanted to congratulate Phil Smith, Friends of Crystal Beach, all of their volunteers, including Councillor Luberts, who was handing out goodie bags in a very effective and efficient fashion. The weather was questionable at the beginning, but then it turned out to be quite nice for running, and there was a very large turnout, good number of sponsors, and everyone really had an enjoyable time. So once again, good job by the Crystal Beach 5K team. There is Thursday there was a the town crew participated in the Habitat for Humanity build, and I did have the individuals who participated, but I know that was Jonathan Jansen, who turns out to be quite handy with a saw. He was assisted by Bev Bradnam, who was the team leader, as well as Janine Tesmer, the communications coordinator. Kelly Walsh was there along with I was there, yes, and I'm probably forgotten someone. The fire chief, Larry Coplin, was there, yes, and he made sure that there were no fires breaking out. Anyways, it was a very good day, and we were doing some odds and ends because they're ahead of schedule. They're doing great job there and working very effectively. I just wanted to make one other announcement. On Saturday, this coming Saturday, there is a golf tournament being sponsored by the Ridgeway Lions Club at the Fort Erie Golf Club to raise funds for the Pomegranate Restaurant, which will be it's the culinary program at the new high school. They'll be raising money for the new kitchen in that facility. And so I encourage anyone who's interested to check out the Ridgeway Lions Club website with respect to that. So that's it for announcements. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? There being none, there are a number of public notices with respect to public meetings. The first has to do with the downtown parking strategy, which will be held on Tuesday, October the 11th. Actually, it's going on right now in the town hall atrium. Also, a public meeting with respect to the Crystal Beach infill development, town-initiated zoning bylaw amendment, and that will take place Tuesday, October the 18th, 2016, between 5 and 6 p.m. in the town hall atrium. There's a recreational vehicles town-initiated amendment to the town zoning bylaw that will be held Thursday, October the 20th, 2016, between 5 and 6 p.m. at the town hall atrium. There's a public meeting with respect to recreational vehicles, and this has to do with options relative to storage. That will be November the 17th, 2016 at 6 o'clock. That will be in the town hall council chambers at a council committee meeting. The information report for that meeting will be available Wednesday, November the 2nd on the town's website. There's also a public meeting for property rezoning with respect to property on Michener Road, again, Monday, November the 7th, 2016 at 6 o'clock in the town hall council chambers. And the report for that public meeting will be available again Wednesday, November the 2nd, 2016. And then there's the budget meeting schedule starting with the first budget meeting, budget and committee meeting, Wednesday, November the 16th, 2016. That will be our capital budget and forecast. Second meeting will be Wednesday, December the 7th, 2016, which is our water, waste, water operating budget and user fees. Third meeting will be January the 11th, 2017, and that will deal with the library and EDTC requests for funding. On January the 25th, 2017 will be the fourth meeting, and that will be the general levy operating budget and assessment analysis. And the fifth meeting, if necessary, will take place Wednesday, February the 1st, 2017. All of those meetings begin at 6 o'clock. They're in the town hall council chambers, and the plan is for council to adopt the budget bylaw sometime in the capital budget, capital works budget, December the 5th, 2016, water and wastewater, January 16th, 2017, and the general levy, February the 27th. So that's the time schedule up till then. The regional councilor has indicated that he is not available this evening, so there'll be no regional council report this evening. In terms of presentations and delegations, I would ask Jeff Klein if he would like to come forward to address council. Good evening. Right there.
Okay.
And your mic's on.
Mic's on here?
Okay. Yes, and I can advise you that I've circulated to members of council a lot of the information that you and your wife and daughter have provided to the municipality, and so the,
sure.
The councilors will have some of that information.
Yeah, excellent. This is a short notice because, you know, the got home and we did the best we could, and so is it okay? Good evening, Mayor Redekop, members of council, members of the public. My name is Jeff Klein. I represent our family and the surrounding neighbors who live in close proximity to a cell tower that has recently been secretly installed at the Mill Greenhouse property in Ridgeway. After being dormant for 4 years. We are here to present our opposition to this project and demand that the tower structure be removed immediately. Our family has resided at 327 Windmill Point for 37 years, and we're adjacent property owners. We are all born here and are deeply invested in our community. My daughter also resides in the second dwelling located at 255 Dominion Road in clear sight of the tower, very close. And she has grown up here across from the Sneak property for her entire life. Residence is approximately, Jessica's residence is approximately 180 meters from the tower. Our total property fronting along Dominion Road, Windmill Point, is 21 acres that fronts on his entire property. So from anywhere in our property, you see the tower. Here is some background on the cell tower project, which dates back to 2012 here. The cell tower builder is Fontour International, who was contracted to install a cell tower for their client, Wind Mobile, at the time, a competitor for the big three companies. Fontour International identified gaps in service and wanted to put it, found an ideal location that they could put it. And it was a 50-meter, 160-foot tower on rural property. And that was at Stone Mill Road and Nye Road in Ridgeway. As per Town of Fort Erie policy, the site considered for any tower was on town property on Nye Road, approximately 300 meters from Centralia Avenue North. Fontier Wind Mobile chose the site as a perfect location for the big tower. The application was rejected by the town at the regular council in committee meeting on October 1st, 2012. So council rejected putting the tower there after major opposition from surrounding residents. What we as resident taxpayers did not know was that Adam Sneak had already signed a contract with cell phone builder Wind Mobile to erect a communication tower on his property as a second choice. That was a second choice location. He never once communicated information to his neighbors. How can this be allowed to happen? How can one landowner's decision to receive money for his personal gain affect so many residents' lives? We know nothing of the plans for cell phone tower at all until we received a notice in the mail from the town of Fort Erie, which is October 4th, 2012, advising us of a new application received from Fontour International for this 2594 Dominion Road doing business as the Mill Greenhouses, and a public information meeting was held here on October 30th. This was Fontour's second choice position to put the tower. According to federal law, a cell tower applicant only has to notify residents in a certain radius of the proposed cell tower location. So very few people received letters of notice. This meeting was hosted by Fontour International here, town staff in attendance. Prior to the meeting, much effort was made to organize our neighbors to fight against this new location if they had the interest. Many, many hours were spent researching issues, cell phone towers and the effects of low-level radiation on people and wildlife. Government departments of all levels were contracted to voice our opinion. Information was widely distributed to the neighbors. A letter to the editor was sent to our local newspaper and to advise the community of our situation. And the neighborhood meeting was also held to formulate a plan prior to the public information setting. This meeting was mandatory by Industry Canada. And Industry Canada's changed. It's a different name now. And that was part of the public consultation progress is to, you know. But anyways, we had lots of people there. We had a lot of property owners there that were really in concern. No one wants these things close to them, most of whom opposed this cell phone tower. Mr. Sneak and his family attended this meeting. He was here in 2012. This was our first opportunity to ask questions and voice our concerns to the town of Fort Erie and Fontour International. Although given the opportunity to voice our concerns and submit our comments in writing, it was felt by all the taxpayers and the homeowners that we had no voice for the outcome of these proceedings. We quickly realized that no one cared. And this meeting meant absolutely nothing. The surrounding residents of the proposed cell tower absolutely had no say, and that was heartbreaking at that time. At the Town of Fort Erie's Council in Committee meeting of November the 5th, 2012, council members passed a resolution to fully oppose a cellular communication tower. Everybody here at that time opposed it at this location, 2594 Dominion Road, Ridgeway. This resolution was put in a letter sent to Fontour International, also copied to Industry Canada Federal. Then a second letter was also drafted on November 16th, 2012, by the Town Planning Department, which was requested as part of the town's policy for telecommunications towers. This letter stated that Fontour, the builder, met all legal obligations according to the antenna systems siting protocol. This is kind of boring stuff, but it's a 35-page template, and it tells the builder exactly what they have to do, how far the properties are, everything they have to do. They had that exact, except one thing. They did not have the approval of the local residents. That's the only thing that didn't fit the template. This is considered a letter of concurrence, and according to the document, a concurrence remains in effect for a maximum period of 3 years from the date it was issued. That's what we found. We were never provided with a copy of this letter and were told that it was not public document for circulation. It's now been 4 years. 4 years. So anyways, our last correspondence in this matter was an email response from Susan Dunmore. And that was the last correspondence, was March 1st, 2013. Since this date, we have heard absolutely nothing regarding the status of Fontour's international application on the cell tower. We realized that when Mobile was in financial difficulties, and we thought this is done. Wrong. It is hard to believe that no one took another look at this file that we left in limbo here. 2013, complacent, but myself, I was always worried. I did not trust the landowner. There is a lot of secrecy regarding these cell phone tower contracts. Now, we now know the landowner knew exactly what was going on. paid for the lease of the land. All remained quiet until October the 5th, 2016. On this date, we arrived home from vacation, find a cell phone tower.
Need some water, Mr. Klein?
I'm good. It's just emotional. But anyways, it was installed on Friday, September the 30th. One day. Work done. I didn't catch it. I have a workshop directly across from his property. I go there to the workshop every day. It was well hidden. Construction is well orchestrated and engineered and installed quickly. Always unmarked vehicles, always done surgically. Ironically, this was put up when we happened to be out of town. Other residents away from their homes, including my daughter, who resides 260 meters from this tower, no one knew the tower was going up.
No one.
Municipality, we believe, other than the property owner, Mr. Sneak. People, the new residents slash taxpayers of the neighborhood who are new there, actually four, no idea what was going on. They have built homes and bought homes that are a lot closer than we are and in direct view of the tower. They built here and bought here because there's no sun. Would not know unless they talk to me. One home on Windmill Point, approximately 180 meters away from the tower, and there's another one that's 195. They are within their spec with how close they are. The landowner has the closest home, which is the most. This information about the intent to build the cell tower near these properties was not available to the new people. It demonstrates the total lack of transparency between the federal government and the applicant, the local municipalities. This must change now. We can't. This is not proper. Many municipalities in Ontario have taken action to change this so this can have more say, and you guys can have more say. We need the mayor and council and members of Fort Erie to talk to the federal government today and change this current progress. Allow more input from local government and the local taxpayers and residents. We are all totally opposed to the installation of this tower. And I speak honestly when I say that it has ruined our lives in the last days. Those of the concerned neighbors are the same. A lot of them could not be here because this is so short. A lot has changed in 4 years. More cell phone towers in the area now. We have 17 here now in Fort Erie. This will be signal strength has increased. Cell phone towers are relatively new in our area. Long-term effects of low-level radiation, which is 24/7, 365, not fully understood. Our health is being compromised by companies providing better cell phone service, let alone ruining the environment and the landscape. I'm not against towers, not against cell phones, against putting them close to residents and people. Here are the issues that are upsetting the most. Impact on our health is our primary worry, such as the effects of low-level radiation emissions on humans and wildlife. There are many recent studies available, I can go on and on health. 2016 study which determines cell phone radiation causes cancer in rats. That was a $25 million study that was independent of our wireless safety standards. We know that wireless safety standards do not adequately protect the public. There are also many articles available which question Health Canada's current Safety Code 6, all the guidelines for the safety of towers. Every tower, they have a template, Safety Code 6. impact on health. We do not believe that there has been enough research done in Canada on this, and rather be cautious rather than be informed in 10 years have significant cancer risk close to a cell phone. I'll speed it up here. Cell phone towers affect the landscape and nature. There is no study needed here. Layman's terms, old school terms, the landowner is approached, contract lease is signed, the town has no say, residents have no say, federal government says okay, then the residents' health and environment is affected for roughly 5 years. Anyways, environmental issues, most notably the fact we got Six Mile Creek by this thing, we have wetlands in behind that are environmentally sensitive areas. It means nothing, but it does to me. I'm an environmental guy. Concerns about Frontier International's adherence to the federal government innovation, science, and economic development. Especially, we do not believe that the applicant followed the regulations, CPC recommendation. Whether the proponent followed a land use authority's consultation process or Industry Canada's default public consultation process. Construction of an antenna system must be completed within 3 years. Valid in this case. Copy of this agreement must be provided to the local Industry Canada office. My question is, has any type of extension been granted, and why is this information not provided? This cell tower will create impact on current property values and existing properties and residences, plus have a negative effect on potential future development. I'm gone, wants to develop it, and everybody patient to the site. In conclusion, our family is absolutely heartbroken. What's happening here? Neighbors share the same sadness. I'd like the support from the town, Fort Erie, to help today, how the cell phone tower process works. This tower is not fully functional, just a tower at this point, a hollow tube. And as a residence, this tower be taken down immediately before the transmitter and receiver. Towers are not monitored, there's nothing checks. A lot of us have two-story homes. I cannot emphasize enough. Health and safety of the current residents for the future generations must be our priority. Our children will suffer, and their children will also be impacted from the actions that have transpired. We don't make changes. How can we as taxpayers have no say and these ugly structures that decimate our town and will affect future generations? I'll be gone in 12 years. It's the next people that are going to be dealt with all this stuff. Tonight, at this meeting, have a chance to change the course of history. Council's help. Changes made. Stuck with this tower. Approximately 25 years. Here will be long gone. Next generation will suffer the consequences. Action. We as residents of Fort Erie are devastated by what has happened to our community. Inflation. Stop now. There might be one in your backyard soon. Thank you for everything. Any questions?
Thank you very much, Mr. Klein. And as I said, counselors did receive some information, did receive some responses from staff. I'll ask counselors if they have any questions. But when we spoke the other day, I know you didn't really have an opportunity to do too much on this. Has there been any effort to communicate with the new ministry, whatever it's called, used to be called Industry Canada, now it's Innovation, Science, and Economic Development Canada?
No, because I waited to speak tonight, and then everybody was gone on Thursday on vacation.
Right, you mentioned that.
Bit of time to make this. Thanks to everybody.
Yep, I appreciate that.
Yep.
Do any members of council have any questions? Councillor Butler.
Sure.
Thank you, Your Worship. Thank you, Mr. Klein, for your presentation. It was very heartfelt.
Thanks
and I wonder,
Your
Worship, if I could ask a couple of questions of Mr. Brady.
Well, I think we can do that when we get to new business.
Okay.
And at that point, I'm hoping that a member of council will consider putting forth a notice of motion to request that the federal government recognize the need for municipalities to have some approval back to the siting of these towers. But there are some questions as well that could relate to your specific tower, particularly the process and whether all the protocols have been complied with.
That's exactly what I was going to get to.
Okay. Yeah,
thank you.
Any other members of council with respect to Mr. Klein? If not, then, sir, what we really need to do is get some further information from our staff with respect to this. So we'll be asking staff some questions. We've already posed some questions. I know that your wife or daughter had sent a letter to Mr. Kernahan, who just came back from holiday. So he was working on that. I don't know whether he had an opportunity to respond. But
he did that before I was home.
Yeah, okay. So we need some information from our staff, and councillors will be asking that. And then I think that we will be taking some action with respect to trying to interject the municipalities into this. You're not the only individual in Ontario that's been affected by this. We're not the only municipality that's had this. We've been dealing with this now for over 15 years.
Yep.
Not a very satisfactory arrangement whereby we're essentially told that this is federal jurisdiction, and if you guys don't like it, too bad.
How can other people that don't live in this community make such decisions that affect the people that live here?
That's an excellent question. And it's
excellent. I would like anybody to answer me that. I can go right up to the top. I'm just a lady. How can that happen? How can people make a decision?
Well, it happens all the time.
Oh, it does.
This is a more devastating impact than
right.
Many of the other decisions. In any event, we do have some items on the agenda, and then we'll be getting to questions or inquiries by members of council. That will take probably about a half an hour if you folks wanted to stick around until then. Or maybe someone would like to move that we, Councillor Basile, that we waive the rules so that council can ask members of staff questions right now. Seconder, Councillor Zanko, all those in favor? That is carried. So why don't you have a seat, Mr. Klein, close to the microphone in case we need to get you back up.
Okay.
And at this point, then, I will ask members of council if they have questions, and they'll be directing them, I think, to staff.
Absolutely. Thanks for letting me speak.
Oh, you're more than welcome, and thank you for coming out with all of your neighbors. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Mr. Brady. Mr. Brady, I have a couple of questions with respect to what Mr. Klein had informed us about. And I'm just wondering if you could give us a bit of a brief outline with respect to what the municipality did when this application went through.
Through to Councillor Butler. Certainly, there were actually two applications that came through. There was an application, maybe I should back up for a second. The municipality has a policy in place that says that our preferred location for telecommunications towers is on municipal property. That was adopted by a number of councils ago. And the reason that that was put in place was to allow the municipality and the staff to have a modicum of control on the cell towers. And we use that to do such things as try to locate them in areas that are more conducive to them. And also we try to deal with them in terms of camouflaging. And we try to deal with them in terms of, as you'll note, most of the ones that have been built on municipal property are monopoles, which are less distracting. And in some cases, there's one that's a flagpole, which is becoming the bane of my existence, but nonetheless, it does provide that service as well. So when it's on municipal property, then the municipality is the one that is has the lease with the cell tower provider. And because of that, we tend to have a relationship that allows us to have, as I say, a modicum of control. We don't have full control, but we have some control. This first tower that was to be built in and about this area was to be on some municipal property. We recommended that to council, and council turned it down. And the council of the day was informed by myself that once that was the only municipal property that was available, and if they turned it down, then the cell provider would be released to look for private property. And I believe the cell provider made it clear that they had already established a place for a lease on private property. They didn't tell us where, but they said that wasn't a problem for them because they had established a lease. So that moved forward. That private one came forward to us. There was a public consultation event, as was described by the speaker and Mr. Klein. And at that time, there was a lot of questions asked, and council turned down the application, which was then that was provided to Industry Canada. Industry Canada does not permit municipalities to have the final say in whether or not a cell phone tower can or cannot be built within their jurisdiction. I believe their rationale for that is that they want to have cell tower communications throughout the areas, throughout Fort Erie and other municipalities. And if a municipality blocked them, that service would not be provided. So they listen to the issues. We provide them with a record, which we did, and they make the determination based on Health Canada's standards, which is a standard which has been set a while ago, whether or not the location is appropriate. Common knowledge that cell towers are throughout the urban areas of virtually every municipality in Ontario. So it's not uncommon for cell towers to be located in residential areas. In Niagara Falls, for example, the water tower at Stamford is a major cell tower provider. There was going to be one on a water tower in Fort Erie, but that's been removed, and it's now been located just over on the other side. So it's not uncommon for cell towers to be located in residential areas, and Industry Canada has some standards in what they believe makes it healthy. And this particular cell tower is now completely within the control of what was Industry Canada. So they are the people that deal with it. They don't even permit municipalities to issue building permits. So building permits are not issued for cell towers, so that we could not use that as a lever, if you will.
That's interesting. That was going to be my next question, but thank you.
If there's anything else.
That was going to be my next question, but since permits are not needed, kind of euchred as a municipality.
Yes, I think it would be the appropriate answer to that question. Municipalities certainly can provide comments to the federal government on cell towers. We have in the past, the Industry Canada or its current form knows of the protocol that we use in Fort Erie. Our protocol in Fort Erie is more strenuous than the protocol they have, and they accept that we want the protocol that we have in place. I've sat down with Industry Canada people in the past. Normally, they're fairly reasonable to deal with, but their belief, and I think that's where the dichotomy is in this particular matter, their belief is that cell towers are safe.
Worship, I just have a...
Yes, please proceed.
Thanks. Mr. Brady, in your experience, have you ever known any community to be able to have a cell tower withdrawn from a private entity?
I'm not going to suggest that it's never happened, but to my knowledge, I know of no circumstances.
At this point, I don't have any other questions.
Any other councillors? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just wanted to make a couple comments because I was sitting in this chair when this came up, and the comments that Mr. Klein made tonight are exactly the conversation that we had a few years ago. That it's a shame that the municipality, at the end of the day, regardless of how many public meetings or consultation processes or, it's for show. It's because it's mandated. They're not really looking for any input. At the end of the day, that tower is going to go somewhere within that sphere that they have already gotten approval from the federal government that it's going to go. And we dealt with three towers that night, the one at the East Birdie Fire Hall. We dealt with one on Garrison Road, just east of Stevensville Road, and we dealt with the one that is being brought up tonight. And I don't know if it was myself or another member of council 4 years ago, but somebody made the comment that all we're going to be doing tonight is pushing this to be some other resident or neighborhood's problem. And that's exactly what has happened. So I apologize for that. I have to say that, but we really didn't have any choice. The only thing that was within our control at that point in time, and I just do this for my colleagues for your background information going forward, was do we want to be a willing party to the one neighborhood that was in question? And those were the residents who did come out that night. But all the points that Mr. Klein made tonight, we need to take into account crafting that notice of motion to the federal government, because really we have zero say. The federal government, it's a courtesy of theirs that they approach us first. They don't really have to do that. They could locate it anywhere. They could put it on private property first, but we have something municipally, so they do come to us. We have that option. It's a very frustrating situation. I think each and every one of us, whether you're sitting in a council chair this term or you go back 40 years ago, we run on the basis that we want to help the constituents and our municipality. And this is probably the top issue that I've ever faced where it's so front and center, it's visible. You know, to the mayor's point, there's other issues where other levels of government have an effect on our lives, but we don't really see them day-to-day basis. This is something where you literally walk out the front door of your house and it's there. And it could be there for a long time. I know that at the time we were deliberating back then, it was for a period of 5 years with several renewable terms, all of 5-year increments. So it could be anywhere from 25 to 40 years, maybe even 45 was the length of the lease. At least that's what they were negotiating with the municipality. So we need to do something about it. We need to possibly lead the charge. We've done that many other times in this municipality across the province. I don't think any of us are afraid of doing that again. But at some point, enough is enough. It's unfortunate, but at some point, we need to get the federal government to listen so we're not just pushing one neighborhood's problems to another neighborhood. And that's exactly what's happened here. We had no choice then. We really have no choice tonight. But hopefully, maybe if we all put some effort into it with the work of staff and some lobbying efforts and getting some other municipalities around this province together behind us, maybe we can have a choice in the future. But we'll definitely look at every single option we can to make sure that whatever can be done for these residents going forward. I appreciate it, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Basiro. Any other councillors? Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just more so a comment. I agree, and I'm happy to support whatever we can, whether it being lobbying, and certainly if Councillor Butler is going to put forward a notice of motion to Industry Canada. I'm never in agreement with a cell tower going into a residential area. We had a similar situation in Ward 3, which I didn't support. So whatever we can do, certainly, you know, for this particular situation, I'm in full support. I'm not sure, and maybe if I could just ask one question to Mr. Brady, with this particular situation, if there is some portion of the tower that's already been put in place, is there anything that we can do immediately for this particular situation to either stall the process in hopes of getting the government to hear us?
Mr. Brady, you might want to listen to my questions. I think there's some procedural steps here that we need to look into, and we probably can look into. So the first one, Mr. Brady, I just want to get a little bit of background because Jessica Klein sent a rather thoughtful and a concise letter to Mr. Kernahan on October the 5th. And in that letter, I think you may have a copy of that, she makes reference to a couple of items. One is the Joint Antenna System Siting Protocol template that was worked out by the Canadian Wireless Telecommunications Association and the Federation of Canadian Municipalities in February 2013. Do we utilize that as part of our processes in determining where we would prefer these towers to be sited if we have an opportunity?
Through to the mayor. We start there. That's not the end of our template, but we certainly start there.
So that's the basis of our protocol. And then the second document that was referred to by Mr. Klein this evening and is also referred to in the letter is a protocol established by what was then Industry Canada, which is now Innovation, Science, and Economic Development Canada in February 2014 that sets out a public consultation process that includes what Mr. Klein had referred to as a three-year limit between the time of consultation and the time a tower is constructed or built. Seems to be at odds with what's occurred here, but I'm wondering whether someone, either you or someone from your office, could contact the Ministry of Innovation, Science, and Economic Development Canada about this and determine whether or not that protocol that was established in February 2014 would apply to this particular tower. Although I know the approval would have preceded February 2014, but I think that's one possible route that we could follow.
Certainly we can follow up with that as you wish. I'm trying to read the note that Mr. Cranahan had sent. I think he already has, and I think that the fact is that this 2014 protocol came in well after this issue was addressed.
So this may have been a grandfathered approval.
That's our suggestion, but we could follow up again.
I wish you would.
Sure.
The other thing that since we're going to be following that up, is I think it would be helpful if we confirm with the ministry that this tower that's been constructed actually complies with the approval that was granted in 2012 or whenever it was granted, because we don't know whether the tower actually complies with what was approved. So perhaps we could follow that up. I mean, I'm confident that the tower wasn't put up without Industry Canada having been put on notice or Innovation, Science and Economic Development Canada, although anything's possible. So they may need to do some type of inspection on that. I think we should pursue that. And the last question that I had, because I'm not clear that there's clarity on this, The letter of concurrence that Mr. Klein referred to that emanates from the municipality, my understanding is that that's simply a letter that the municipality provides to the federal ministry advising them that the proponent of a telecommunications tower has complied with the public consultation process. Is there something more to that that you're aware of?
No, that's exactly what it is.
So it's not that the municipality approves the siting, it's just that the proponent has complied with the process as outlined locally in conformity with the ministry's requirements?
That's correct.
Okay, thank you. I don't have any other questions. There will be, I'm sure, a notice of motion later put on the agenda. What that simply means is that 2 weeks from now, council will be deliberating on a motion to request that the federal government give authority to the municipalities to approve the siting of these towers. Based on what I've heard so far tonight, I can't imagine that that isn't going to be approved. And then we would follow that up with a request for other municipalities to support that. And then there'd have to be some dialogue and contact with the federal government on this. Because you're right, it is a problem. It does lead to neighborhoods being pitted against neighborhoods. The federal government doesn't particularly care. It's a little bit more germane for municipalities because we're the people who represent the residents on the ground on a day-to-day basis. So that's what will be forthcoming. Mr. Klein, again, thank you very much for coming out and for all of those who accompanied you this evening. You're welcome. Okay, we're going to move on, if we may. That takes us to the consent agenda items. Are there any items that anyone wishes removed from the consent agenda? If not, then Councillor Nutt, I understand you have the resolution for the consent agenda items.
Yes, Your Worship. Thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko, that Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
Are there any questions or comments? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Worship. Just a comment regarding the EAC minutes, September 21st, under Point 3 Board Committee Minutes. There's reference in there to EAC bringing forward some concerns or information regarding Waverly Beach and how we deal with the algae cleanup. I know that we've had previous conversations, myself and Councillor Zanko, with staff, and I just want to make sure that my personal opinion is still being reflected going forward, but in the algae on that beach is a significant quality of life issue for the residents in those neighborhoods. And what I'm reading in these minutes is that we may be tracking towards not removing the algae or altering how we change that removal for the sake of the Fowler's toad. I'm going to go on record saying I support the residents before I support the Fowler's toad. I think we have come to an understanding, at least now with the ministry, we have a good working relationship with how we do that algae removal. So I don't want to see that go backwards. If anything, I'd like to see that take another step forward to see if we can actually remove that algae off-site to let it decompose and then bring it back. I know one of their concerns was the loss of sand from the habitat. So I'd like to see those discussions continue, but I just want to get that on the record here and now, having seen what's contained in these minutes, that that committee has a concern with the way that we are cleaning up the algae. I definitely don't want to be regressing in what we've been able to do to this point to tackle that issue for those residents. Thank you.
Thank you. It's interesting as well. I note that in those minutes, the second item after that refers to the housekeeping amendments that we dealt with last week. And the report, these minutes indicate that the EAC had no objection to removing the lots within the Erie Beach subdivision, North Ridge Meadows subdivision, Beaver Creek Estate subdivision, but felt that the EC overlay should remain on the stormwater management blocks within those subdivisions, which wasn't exactly what my impression was. So that's good to know. Any other questions or comments with respect to any of these items? Madam Clerk, I note that in the minutes of the September 26th council meeting, on page 6, it was a public meeting, No, sorry. Councillor Butler had raised an inquiry about a spite fence. That's the item D at the top of page 6 of those minutes. And there's a reference to the Niagara Parks Commission authority. I believe that should be the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority, which would have some authority over floodplains. That would be about halfway down, subparagraph D at the top of page 6.
I can check into it, Mr. Mayor.
Okay. I don't know that you need an amendment, but I'm sure that the record will indicate that it's the NPCA. There are no other questions or comments. I'll call the question with respect to the resolution. All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to new business and inquiries, and we have a resolution from Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Passero, that Council appoints Craig Amadio to the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Are there any questions or comments with respect to that? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Are there any inquiries or matters of new business? Councillor Nutt. Well, Councillor Butler, I think, is going to go to notices of motion. Or did you have questions as well? Inquiries? Okay. So I'm going to go to Councillor Nutt, and then I'm going to go to Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. through yourself to Mr. Walsh, I received several calls and had several emails, several conversations with many of the residents located in the Black Creek Municipal Drain area asking as to why they're receiving the $50 charge, and in some cases some residents received a $100 charge for the cost of the report. I'm just going to run through my questions and you can address them. Do you want to do this one at a time, or I don't know.
Why don't we start one at a time and
all
see
right.
How we make out?
Thank you. The first question being, why are they receiving a fee for a report that was commissioned from 2002?
Mr. Walsh.
Through you, Mr. Mayor. The charges are enforced at the time of bylaw acceptance, which was just a few months ago.
Thank you. Secondly, they want to know why they're paying for a report when no capital works are expected or on the books for the next 20 years, and this report more than likely will have to be updated at that time again.
Mr. Walsh.
All fees and charges for the drain, which include actual physical works, construction works or maintenance works, and including the report preparation, are reimbursable by benefiting landowners.
I think the question is really directed at the length of time between the preparation of the report and the anticipated work.
As I said, the preparation of the report is included in reimbursable expenses. It doesn't state in the Act that it has to be within a certain time.
Councillor Nutt.
The third question that arose was for a property owner that had purchased property from Park Lane after this report was initiated and come forward to council for bylaw, why do they have to pay the charge if they did not receive the notices and did not participate in the public meeting?
Well, the owner, it goes to the land itself, the charges. The land existed prior to them taking specific ownership, and the landowner at the time, if it was Park Lane Homes or an existing private citizen, would have received notice.
Councillor Nutt.
Okay, I'm going to rephrase that question. Why did somebody who just purchased the land, why do they feel, they're asking why they should pay this and why they shouldn't object to the charge, why it shouldn't be paid by Park Lane?
Well, because they don't own the land, and the legislation provides that it's the landowner.
Bear with me, I'm just looking
yeah,
at
one. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, that's okay, because I have another thing that doesn't exactly apply to this topic right here, so I'll defer.
Okay, Councillor Butler.
Councillor Butler, thank you.
Thank you, Your Worship. It occurred to me last week when we were listening to the transit report and the delegation that we do not have a transit committee, and I was wondering how we could go about to formulate one. I don't know who to ask that question.
I think that's an excellent idea. You've asked the mayor, and the mayor thinks it's a great idea, and I think the other councillors probably think it is as well. And I would think what we would do is you could speak to staff, but I think that we could do that by way of notice of motion. We could raise that, and insofar as we're talking about a significant expansion in the type of public transit that we're providing, I think that's an excellent idea. And I happen to think that we did have a transit committee one time in this town. It would have been before the time of most of the staff members here, but my recollection is that probably 20, 25 years ago, there was a transit committee. So that could be something you could raise by way of notice of motion, and then we could ask staff for terms of reference for public transit committee. Or it could just be a transportation committee.
Okay, thank you. And I do have one more question. And this one is for Mr. Walsh. I was wondering if there were any policies with respect to garbage removal down in the downtown cores prior to an event taking place in those areas. Because it was brought to my attention at the last Ridgeway BIA meeting, which was held last week, that garbage cans seem to be overflowing prior to, and it makes it cumbersome during the day. So whose responsibility is it to actually take care of those?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, trash or garbage collection is the responsibility of the region. We do pay for it through our a special levy of the BIA. In the case of everything is for sale, if a BIA is looking for additional service, we could get a quote from the region. But I can say that in all the BIAs, trash is collected twice weekly, typically on a Monday and a Thursday.
Thank you. Another question, if you don't mind. Mr. Walsh, so I know that our staff has been very generous, and during any festivals, whenever that has occurred, they've been very kind and have gone down there and picked up the garbage during the events. Is that something that they do on a fairly regular basis? And responsibility is that to make sure that the garbages are collected from those bins that are on the streets,
Mr. Walsh? That
are not actually related to the businesses but are actually on the street?
Mr. Walsh?
Those are the region's responsibilities. In the case of the Ridgeway BIA, that you're speaking of the black cans, the decorative cans, they were that's part of our twice weekly collection. Now, with respect to festivals and events that occur in a BIA, the receptacles that are existing are sized and spaced for a regular week of traffic. When we get events in an area, typically part of the request by the petitioner is to provide extra garbage cans, which the town does. My apologies, I don't know who actually collects that rubbish, whether it's the region the next day or if we go down with our collection truck. Rick says we do.
Okay, thank you.
Any other councillors before I go back to Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Worship. At some point over Thanksgiving weekend, there was a little kitty cat stuck up on a hydro pole. And nothing makes your phone go off like a cat stuck in a hydro pole. And I provided some direction. Other people provided some direction. And eventually it came down to the only person that or entity that could do anything about it would be CNP. And I've been told by residents who were in contact with them that CNP at some point in the recent past has changed their policy, that they no longer respond to incidents such as this. But I think they relented due to public pressure and social media. But I'm wondering if our infrastructure staff could have a little chit-chat with CNP and just find out exactly what their policy is. I know going back 2 to 3 years ago, we had a raccoon with its head in a peanut butter jar at the top of a tree. I think they came out and helped because hydro lines were in the way. But if CNP doesn't do it, who exactly is going to do it? My answer would be nobody. Fire department can't do it because of the proximity to the hydro lines. I know they come out if it's just a tree rescue, but I'd like to hear from CNP exactly what their policy is, what their rationale is for that policy, and what exactly their recommendation would be the next time we get into this type of predicament. I thank them for coming out, but I hear it's just from the public pressure in this one instance. I'd like to see what the policy is going forward.
Mr. Walsh, I wonder if you could follow up with your contact at CNP on that.
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Anything else, Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to staff, I know that we meticulously take care of the medians on Garrison Road and the beautification efforts. Whose responsibility are the other medians on regional roads? Are those ours as well, or do they fall within the regional responsibility and we just have a special agreement for Garrison, specifically the medians on Thompson Road at the Birdie-Thompson intersection? Those are deplorable. And going down Birdie Street as well. But the ones at Thompson Birdie, there were weeds there the size of small trees up until myself and somebody else under the cover of darkness went and ripped them out to our own danger. But I'm hoping not to have to do that again.
Mr. Walsh.
As far as I know, all medians are the responsibility of the town. I'll make note of that, Councillor Passero, and take it up with our staff, see if we can improve the looks.
Since you're mentioning Birdie, I'm thinking that you're not talking about decorative medians. You're talking about concrete medians coming off the Queen Elizabeth Highway where the weeds typically look pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Thank you for risking life and limb. I'm guessing that you had an accomplice.
Yes. Yes. Somebody's got to watch the car.
Yeah.
And just further to that, if the medians are our responsibility as far as the maintenance goes, are those also our responsibility for the actual median itself? Because the ones, the one if you are traveling northbound on Thompson when you get the Birdie intersection, and then the ones coming eastbound on Birdie, those are in horrible shape as far as the actual concrete curb of those medians. It's pretty much just pulverized concrete and gravel at this point. And that really is, according to our current wayfinding signage program, Thompson Road is the exit that's queued from the QEW through the Todd signage. So these four medians are really the first impression people are getting when they come off the highway if they're following the signage.
Mr. Walsh, does the Ministry of Transportation have any responsibility for some of those medians that are proximal to the QEW?
My apologies, Mr. Mayor. I was a little confused as to which medians Councillor Passero was speaking of. Medians with featured landscaping in them are the responsibility of the town. Those covered in asphalt are the responsibility of the local road authority, whether it's the town, the region, or the MTO, and because they serve as traffic direction or traffic management pieces.
So if there's a need for some heightened work on some of the roads that are some of the intersections that are medians that a councillor has referred to, you could certainly pass that on to the appropriate road authority?
Yes, we will.
I happen to think that the Ministry of Transportation has some responsibility in that vicinity.
Yeah, they do, exactly.
Okay. Anything further, Councillor Passero?
I had a couple comments regarding the drainage works and reports, but I want to let my colleague finish his thought process on that because he may cover a couple of the points.
Sure. Councillor, so any other councillors before I go back to Councillor Nutt? Councillor Nutt, back to you.
Thank you. I found the rest of my questions, Mr. Walsh. Can you just walk us through what the information in this report is going to be used for, why it was commissioned, and what the future plans are regarding this information, this report?
Mr. Walsh.
The report was commissioned to update specifically the assessment schedule. The previous schedule was decades old and completely out of date. The report was commissioned in 2002. That drainage superintendent is no longer with the town, but I'm assuming that his thoughts were at the time that works would be required on the Black Creek drain. It is the town's largest drain, and in anticipation of those works, the schedule of assessment would be updated.
Thank you, Your Worship. Can you speak to when those works will be done?
We do not have any construction scheduled in the 10-year forecast. That's not to say that we don't have minor maintenance works. I would have to speak with the drainage superintendent on that.
Thank you. Your Worship, if I may, to Mr. Walsh. Another concern of the constituents is that this is going to be a reoccurring charge. This charge that they received, what is it for and will it appear again?
Yeah, the charge they are billed with right now is specifically for the report preparation. It's a one and done.
Any further charges would relate to actual maintenance work?
That's correct.
And just one final comment. I think my colleague, Councillor Lubert, said it best a couple of weeks ago, is it's all fine to have this information, but if we don't identify and put an actual maintenance schedule together, then people don't see the value in spending money on reports like this. So I'll be looking for some type of maintenance schedule to come up here that we can look at in the near future. Thank you, Your Worship.
Good point, Councillor Nutt. Any others? If not, I'm going to go back to Councillor Fasero. Okay, you're good? Okay. I don't have any inquiries. That takes us then to motions, of which we have none. Any notices of motion? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I have two this evening, the first of which is the notice of motion, in essence, with respect to council petition the federal government to provide local municipalities with the authority to approve the siting of telecommunications towers.
Second.
And the second one is to ask staff for terms of reference with respect to a transit committee.
Those both will be dealt with 2 weeks hence?
Yes.
Thank you. Are there any other notices of motion? Okay, then that takes... another question? Go ahead.
Just a kind of a notice of motion. I haven't worked out the wording yet, but I do want to bring a notice of motion forward on the Black Creek Drainage Works. Costing of the report.
Flesh it out a bit.
Well, Section 6, Subsection 3 of the Ontario Drainage Act, 1990, Chapter D-17, there's an amendment that provides for some of the assessment of the land, a $50 less amount to be paid for through alternate means.
Yes. Yeah. So what's the essence of your motion? What is it that you're looking for?
The essence of my motion is that I'd like to bring a notice of motion that the municipality look to see whether that assessment could be costed out or covered.
But may I suggest that we ask staff to provide council with options that council could consider with respect to alternatives to the levy of the landowner? That's, I think, what you're
that's
driving
at. That's a good lesson. Yeah, that's
something
well
of that
worded.
Nature. And you can, we've got, that's adequate for your purposes, Madam Clerk. So, okay, and then you can work on that between now and when we. Okay, any others? Then that takes us to consideration of bylaws and there anyone who wishes any of the bylaws removed from the package? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redica. Can we remove bylaw 109-2016?
Sure, we can. Okay, and if there aren't any others, Councillor Passero, could you provide first and second reading for the bylaw package, less 109?
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that the bylaw package containing 110-2016 to authorize the entry into and execution of an agreement with Her Majesty the Queen in Right of Ontario, as represented by the Minister of Agriculture, Food and Rural Affairs under the Ontario Community Infrastructure Fund. 111-2016 to authorize the entry into a Brownfields Rehabilitation Grant Agreement with Mars Homes, Crystal Beach, Incorporated, South Coast Village Subdivision Phase 2, and 112-2016 to stop up and close part of the Princeton Avenue Unopened Road Allowance, Plan 447, sale to Daniel Trifonoff and Elfie Wu, is given first and second reading.
Thank you. All those in favor? None opposed. That is carried. The bylaw package as amended is on the floor for any questions or comments. Are there any? If none, then Councillor Lubberts, would you proceed with third and final reading for the amended bylaw package, please?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redicott. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaw number 110-2016, 111-2016, 112-2016 are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Madam Clerk, I had a couple of, maybe it's not you, maybe it's Mr. Brady, as I see the lawyer's not here. Paragraph of the agreement 3.9, which is of the agreement. This is the agreement with, I'm sorry, this is the Mars Homes grant agreement, bylaw 111. And the first line of 3.9, there's an additional word in there, and I'm not sure which one it is. You read it, it says the annual grant payment shall be calculated by the provided, the town. So there's either something missing or something that should be removed. Bring that to your attention. You can, before that's signed, you might rectify that. On 3.17, Mr. Brady, you might be able to help with respect to this. The way this is worded, it talks about subject lands that have been sold. If there are outstanding taxes, the grant that's available to Mars Homes would be delayed. I'm thinking that if Mars Homes is in the business of selling lots within this plan of subdivision, and if they sold a lot to a party that then doesn't pay the taxes, is it really the intent that Mars Homes should be deprived of their grant because someone that they've sold property to owes taxes?
The intent of 3.17 is exactly that, and the rationale for that is that the money that Mars Homes is receiving is a portion of the taxes, so that the municipality itself is not at a disfavor in if the purchasers of the property don't pay their taxes. Not that they wouldn't be provided it, it's that the municipality will have to go through a protocol that it does to ensure that it collects its taxes, and once that protocol has gone through, then Mars Homes would be a candidate for the reimbursement.
So what would be held back would simply the taxes that relate to that, or the grant that relates to that particular parcel.
Correct.
Thank you. And then the other question that I had related to section 5.7. And I'm 5.7 of the agreement, which is on page 6 of the agreement. talks about the owner will not demolish any buildings in whole or in part prior to the advance of all the grant payments. So I'm taking it that there are no buildings now that would need to be demolished for them to do the work that they're doing because the land has now been cleared.
Correct.
Thank you. I had no other questions. I don't know if anyone else did. If not, then I'll call the question. All those in favor of the amended bylaw package, third and final reading? None opposed. That is carried. Councillor Passero, could you then provide first and second reading for bylaw number 109?
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, that bylaw 109-2016 to authorize the entry into an amending subdivision agreement with Bay Beach Woods Subdivision Limited, Muni Hetram, Bay Beach Woods Subdivision, be given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. That bylaw is on the floor for questions or comments. Councillor Lubberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Radicoff. When this report came forward and was approved by council, I did ask the question about whether the fact that our town solicitor didn't give us any legal opinion or advice regarding the agreement. Subsequently, I've talked to some members of staff, and our solicitor was involved in the process of putting this package together and this agreement together, but yet he didn't want to provide us with legal opinion. And I'm just wondering why he wouldn't give us a legal opinion when he was involved. Now, Mayor Redekop, you mentioned that the reason that he doesn't give opinion is because this is a political decision, and he doesn't provide us with opinions on our decision-making. But if it's a political decision, why was he involved in the process of putting the agreement together? And secondly, if you look at the report that we got, the agreement was put together, and then it was sent to the developer's solicitor for review and comment. So I don't understand why we send to the developer's lawyer for him to review, yet we as council are not requesting that our solicitor look at it and review it and make sure that everything is there and give us his opinion on whether this is the right thing to do or if this is in the best interest of the town of Fort Erie.
So my understanding, and unfortunately Mr. Lustig isn't here this evening, but my understanding is, and I'm looking at the wording of the report, is that he did not wish to provide an opinion with respect to the policy relative to whether we should accept the alternate form of security or not. That doesn't mean that he didn't review the agreement or that he wasn't actively involved in the wording of the crafting of the agreement. So he just declined to give an opinion with respect to the policy aspect. That's my understanding.
Well, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop, and that's exactly where I'm going, is if he doesn't want to give an opinion, to me that raises a red flag. We have a solicitor here that went through the process and helped staff put together this agreement, yet he doesn't want to provide us with any opinion because, my opinion, it would be because he doesn't necessarily feel comfortable with what we're doing. Are we setting a precedence here for other developers to come forward and say, well, let's work something else so that we don't have to come up with letters of credit and we'll just use property as our leverage?
Well, I can't, because Mr. Lustig isn't here, I can't say more than my understanding, having spoken to him about this, is that we set the policy, he provides the legal advice, and he's declined to give us advice with respect to the policy aspect of it. He's certainly giving us the benefit of his legal expertise in terms of the wording of the agreement and how the agreement is set up. In terms of whether this sets precedent, everything that we do could set a precedent. And really, the reason that I'm in favor of this report is because I think it facilitates growth and development within parameters that I think are reasonable. So I'm going to be supporting it. I know that you may not, and that's certainly your prerogative.
Well, thank you very much, and I just want to caution council that I don't know that there's any member of council here that if they were going to make a purchase, real estate purchase, or sell real estate, that they wouldn't have their solicitor, personal solicitor, or lawyer involved to make sure that everything is right. And if somebody was there and at the end of it didn't want to give an opinion, I'd be a little reluctant as to whether or not, you know, if our solicitor isn't comfortable with making an opinion, I would be, I'm a little skeptical as to whether or not council should move forward with this.
Councillor Lubberts, just to be clear, the town's lawyer was involved in the drafting of this agreement. So it's not that he wasn't involved. He was involved in the drafting of the agreement. He's just declined commenting on the advisability of the policy.
Thank you very much, Mayor Redekop, and that's exactly why I think that this raises a red flag. He was involved in putting the agreement together, yet he doesn't want to provide opinion. And to me, that raises a red flag. If we don't get it from our solicitor, maybe we should take a second look and get it from another solicitor to give us some opinion.
Any other questions or comments? Councilor Piro.
Thank you, Your Worship. I'm happy to see this come to an end. I've said it before, I'll say it again. I think this is a very creative solution that staff have come up with the developer to allow this individual or this entity to continue the work that they're doing. It allows them the cash flow they need to continue. It provides us with the collateral we need should things not go according to plan. I count on my lawyer when I'm buying a home to draft up the agreements, make sure that everything is good, should I choose to sign those agreements, but I don't ask my lawyer whether or not I should buy the house. And this is, to me, a similar type of situation. So I fully support this going through tonight.
Thank you. Any other councillors? Councillor Lubberts, did you want to do third and final reading on this, or did you want to have another councillor do that? Okay.
I can do third and final reading.
Yep.
Okay. I'd like a registered vote
as well. That's fine, sure.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Moved by myself and seconded by Ms. Councillor McDermott that bylaw number 109-2016 be given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Are there any other questions or comments before we go to the clerk for a registered vote? No. Madam Clerk?
Thank you, Worship. The vote begins with Councillor Butler.
Yes.
Councillor Nutt?
Yes.
Councillor Lubert?
No.
Councillor McDermott?
Yes.
Councillor Passero?
Yes.
Councillor Zanko?
Yes.
And Mayor Redekop?
Yes.
The vote carries.
Thank you. That takes us then to the next resolution, which is the confirmatory bylaw. Councillor McDermott, you have first and second reading.
Yes, Your Worship, moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that bylaw number 113-2016 to confirm the actions of Council at its meeting held on October 11, 2016, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Butler, you have the next resolution.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, that bylaw number 113-2016 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and clerk under the corporate seal.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? Opposed? That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Councillor Nutt and then Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. On Saturday at 10 a.m. to noon at Ott Road in Stevensville Park, we're having a official tree planting with CN Eco Connections. Everybody's invited out to come and plant a tree.
Is that at Loyalist Park?
That is at Loyalist Park on Ott Road.
Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. On October the 12th, the Cemetery Advisory Committee has its annual tour and meeting beginning at Greenwood Cemetery. On October the 13th, the Traffic Coordinating Committee has a meeting here at Town Hall in Conference Room 3 at noon.
Sorry, did you say the 12th?
Traffic Coordinating Committee was the 13th.
Thank you. Any other meetings? Councilor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Santa Claus Parade is quickly approaching, Saturday, November 26th at 12 o'clock. Most of the same route as in previous years, marshaling at the Fort Erie Racetrack. However, due to the construction occurring on Catherine Street, we are going to go north on Concession to Henrietta. So we'll be going up Henrietta, and myself and some other elves will be making the rounds to those residents so they know what to expect, and I appreciate staff support in helping us to make this happen once again. For any businesses or organizations who haven't had the opportunity to sign up yet, the deadline is November 4th, and they can contact either myself or Barb Horning through our Santa Claus Facebook page is the easiest way, and we will get back to them.
Great. Thank you. Any other meetings?
Corporate Community Services, or the name it's going by now, which I can never remember, this Friday, and I believe at 10 a.m., 10:30 a.m., the clerk knows, 10:30 a.m. for Corporate Community Services Conference Room Number 1 this Friday.
Any other meetings? If none, Councillor Nutt, I'm going to go to you for the adjournment.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zenko, that Council adjourns at 7:27 p.m. to reconvene in a regular meeting of Council on October 24th, 2016.
Thank you. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Thank you all.